Hi there, Good Word fam. It's Tisha with the Good Word podcast and joining us. I'm super excited. I know it's been a little bit. We've been grooving and moving, but we are here. Joining us is Grammy nominated singer and actor Major.
Thank you so much for having me, Tisha.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. You know, it's funny, typically people who just have one word, one name, they go by one name, like Madonna. It's very iconic. I love it. Thank you so much.
Before, first things first, I got to give credit to my mama for naming me Major. That's my real name. I just embraced my first name and capitalized all the letters and put a period there because I meant that thing. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's your birth name. I thought maybe it was your stage name, but that's your actual name. Well, you know, look at where it's gotten you by the grace of God. I love to see it. And we're so thankful that you're joining us on the podcast. You are up to some really amazing, amazing things. And I want to get right to it. So tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're up to. People want to know. People want to hear all the goods.
Yeah. Well, Major, like I said, is my real name, but it is also my stage name. I go as Now That's Major on all things social media. But I am a kid that grew up in Houston, Texas, born and raised in Texas. I went to performing arts schools all my life, including the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts, known for such artists as Robert Glasper, Brian Michael Cox, Patrick Swayze, and this very modest artist that's kind of making moves. You may have heard of her, Beyonce.
yes, where's the beat? Have that.
I grew up, you know, being cultivated in this thing, curated to really be, you know, the performer, the entertainer. I right after HSBBA, I did an intensive with the Houston Grand Opera and the Juilliard School before attending the Berklee College of Music. Moved on to Los Angeles, California, where I am out in Los Angeles living my dreams. So, yeah.
Listen, that is an incredible, incredible journey. And I'm sure that is the short version.
On the podcast, I had to keep it as short as possible.
Yeah, no, that's totally cool. On the podcast, thankfully, we have a little bit of luxury of time, which we don't usually time. So you said you're from Houston. So first and foremost, obviously, I'm sure you're very familiar with the Astroworld Musical Festival, tragedy and disaster. What words would you like to offer to the people that were directly involved and have passed?
I send my love. I send my my condolences to all involved. It's never something we want to see, but I have learned that these are the misfortunes of life. This is what comes with this circle of life, and I'm definitely praying for the families of the victims. I'm praying for the mind of Travis during this time, his heart. We really have to be sensitive to mental health. As many people, after going through a pandemic, there's a lot of sensitivities when it comes to that. And while, you know, there's folks on both ends of the thing, you know, accusing and some saying it's not his fault, I just really just hope that we don't have any more casualties as a result due to mental health, you know, responsiveness to this. I'm praying for the families. I'm praying for my city. I actually sent a message to Mayor Sylvester Turner and encouraged him in his leadership during this time, you know, because there's just so much to deal with right now. And I could only imagine what a mayor of a city as large as Houston is thinking and going through at this time. And so I let him know I'm praying for him and I'm definitely here for them to support in any way that I can.
You know, I have to say, when I saw the video, I was thinking in my mind that, wow, that's a lot of people. And I actually have not been to any large function like that in since pre-pandemic. And so, you know, as an artist, and I'm, you know, plenty of people have, I just haven't, but as an artist, how are you navigating the COVID?
Tisha, this navigation is an adventure, you know, because I think we're all still kind of settling into finding our new normal. It's never, and you know, the word normal is very subjective, because what is normal really? I think normal probably is just literally what is the most common thing to you over the past sector that you look at. It's but it's just, it's tough. It's tough. I a lot of work that I had lined up, a lot of work, a lot of money that I had lined up for 2020, you know, just came to a halt. You know, it came to a stop. And I just really had to lean into my faith space. I really had to lean into, you know, living the hope that I've been giving. It was a challenge to really decide that this will be the time that my faith is going to show up strong and prove to me that despite circumstances, hope will serve as my anchor and deliver to me ultimately a victory and a win on the other side. So out of all of this, I can say that it has produced in me a more hopeful truth and energy and commitment, but it certainly hasn't been easy.
Wow, yeah, and I think, you know, there are so many people who share the same sentiment that you just expressed so eloquently.
I was trying to maneuver through that language, because it's like, yo, it's a lot.
It is. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I was, you know, just kind of thinking out loud, that it feels like, you know, there's your life pre-pandemic, pre-coronavirus, and post-pandemic, and post-coronavirus. And it's not even post, we're amid. And hopefully we're toward the end of the tunnel. But it's like, I feel like, I don't know how everyone else feels, but I feel like I've aged so, so much. And
well,
even if not physically, emotionally and mentally.
I think what has happened is our realities have caught up with us. We have, everything is kind of catching up. And so it's for those that have lived a life of moving, the be still mandated a taking in of the present moment. And I think we in society, societal construct doesn't always give us space to sit in the present moment and take it in for all that it is giving. And so while, you know, you may, you know, describe it as a maturing, I think really it's just a becoming one with the present reality. And it's a beautiful thing. You start to realize what matters. You start to take true introspection of, how am I giving, or how am I taking, or what is giving to me and what is taking from me? And I mean, if that's maturing, I'll take it, because what it has done, it has helped me course correct the way in which I champion this thing called life and focus on what matters and what doesn't.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I think that so many people are really kind of learning what it is that matters versus what doesn't, if not by choice, by circumstance. So,
yeah,
you know, anyone who listens to the podcast knows that I am someone who grew up in the church. I grew up in Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church with Bishop Alfred Owens and co-pastor Susie C. Owens. And
I know them. Yeah,
so,
in the DMV area.
Yes, indeed. DC, Northeast. So that is the church that I, 610 Rhode Island Avenue, that is the church that I grew up in. I sang in the choir. I did liturgical dance and everything and anything that you could possibly think of. This was back in the day where you went to church Sunday morning for Sunday school, and you went to all three services, the early morning one, the main one, and the evening one. And then you had dinner at church. You were at church all day. You were at church all
day. Listen, tell my story if you want. Go ahead.
So I guess, you know, my question is, are we ever going to move back to that?
I don't know. I think that some of it was a beautiful thing, but some of it could have been considered overkill because it didn't allow us to also experience life for all that it offered, so that we had contrast to compare, that we had, or realizing that a lot of things are more the same than different. I think we're finding that new rhythm in the church. I'm a church kid, you know, like you said, you were as well. What's funny is I remember visiting that church, and I remember one thing in particular when Susie Owens said, "We shall read in concert." And I said, now that's what it is. I guess that is true. We are reading in concert. And it was just so profound. But you know, to your question,
I love me some Susie C. Owens, co-pastor.
Yeah. Owens.
So I definitely believe that she said that. But I don't know. I think that, you know, there was something to be said about the church and the church being open and being in the church, you know.
Yes, there's value in fellowship, Tisha. There's value, there's power that comes from fellowship. How can the people hear lest there be a preacher? We know what Bible says on those things. But here's what I think. I think what was happening in life and in church where people were doing it and not being it. Mm. And so what this pandemic did is it arrested our performance and mandated a truth and an embrace of an authentic being. And I think that for us, it shook up what was patterned and common to us from what we experienced in church and in life. And I think it's at the end of the day, you start realizing that my witness, my worship is lifestyle. You start to say, well, do I need 16 services for that to be the reality? Do I just need to do some course correction of who I am as a person? Because think about it, when we talk about how Jesus walked, you know, it wasn't just dwelling in a temple 5-6 times, you know, a Sunday. It was all throughout the week being the representation of kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, in dwellings that were uncommon and uncouth or, you know, unorthodox. And I think that that's what we're being called to, true evangelism, true witness. I think it's been said, we may be the Bible some may ever read. We have a responsibility to show up as kingdom before we get back to, you know, just being in a building. I would love to get back to the building, but I think the balance that these current times are mandating is really challenging people to be a better reflection of what this thing called kingdom really is.
Woo, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
That was a little, what is it? It's a small sermon, but an homily. I don't know.
Hey,
that was. Yeah. You know, that's really and a blessing. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about the podcast, and I said, and I still believe this, that it is not only therapeutic for our viewers, but it's therapeutic for me as well. And I just love the so many different voices and faces and viewpoints and, you know, sermons that come through here. It's really wonderful, which let me take a moment to let everybody know, please make sure you subscribe. We are on iTunes and Audioboom and Google Play and everywhere that podcasts play. And we also have a Facebook group that's pretty robust. It's The Good Word on Facebook. Be sure to check us out. So let me talk about some of your latest and greatest projects. What are you up to? Who are you working with? Who do you want to work with? What's on your playlist?
So let's start with the first thing you said. Why I Love You is the song that has shifted my life. Also affectionately known as This Is Why I Love You. And I am so grateful that the good Lord decided to use me as a vessel for that song to meet earth. And I am so grateful for having a song that is still to this day, after being written 5 years ago, still to this day, one of the leading wedding songs in the urban community. I'm honored. I'm excited that I can go to Chick-fil-A and get a large if I want to, because, you know, publishing has shown up and shown strong. You know what I mean? 125 million streams on YouTube.
Yes, the song yes.
It's being embraced by so many, and it's still thriving. We're inches away from going platinum. I'm super excited just about where life and destiny has taken me, thanks to the goodness and the grace of God. My song, Honest, got me my Grammy nomination after Why I Love You success. And then, you know, now, you know, we've got these two projects, I Am Major and Even More, that is available everywhere. And it's got some amazing, amazing music. But I had a moment of shift. And because you come from the church, I think we kind of understand it's always in us. Leaning into the message more than ever. And this message of hope has really been what I have been focused on. Yahoo Music, Billy Johnson, music journalist, crowned me the hope dealer of music a little over 5 years ago. And I've really leaned into that commission. I am a dealer of hope. And like I said before, the hope I live is a hope I, the hope I give is a hope I must live. And I really have leaned into that with this new project, Major Hope Motivations. It's beautiful. It is special. I'm committed to helping to course correct the way in which we see, think, and speak about our circumstances. Because when we think and speak differently, life has a way of aligning according to that. And I've really championed this language and this ability to break down the complex things simply, to help people understand that they have full access and full permission to both hope and heal at the same time. Major Hope Motivations.
I love it. So who would you like to work with that you have not worked with yet?
Bruno Mars, John Legend, for Houston's sake, I think a Beyonce moment definitely needs to happen. Weirdly enough, I did a talent show at Astroworld That was where I was first fully acquainted with Beyonce and Destiny's Child. Wow. LaToya Luckett and all of them. I did a talent show. They were the special guests, and I won that talent show at Astroworld. So, wow, that's, wow. I just thought about that. Adele, I love Adele. Carrie Underwood. I do. I have that big, they're my big five. That's my big five.
It's all good. It's all good. Listen, I'm all about like claiming stuff and putting it out there because you just don't know. You don't know how God works. And so, yes, put it out there. And for people who want to follow your journey, where can they find you?
You can find me everywhere at Now That's Major, nowthatsmajor.com, or everywhere on social media, Now That's Major. And remember, Major is all caps with a period. Go to YouTube, get the streams up, get me to platinum. We're a few units away. Get me to platinum and I'll sing you a serenade, if you will, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I love this. I love this so much. And it's such a difference than how it was even 20 years ago. I mean, now everything's digital. It's about streams and downloads.
Yeah.
Obviously, I assume we're kind of in the same age range. When we were coming up, it was about albums, right?
Because you had CDs we had some cassettes. I mean, the vinyl records were probably when I was a baby, you're a millennial, I'm pretty sure, yes?
Oh, well, then we're not in the same generation.
So let me tell you this. You look like a millennial. Listen,
I look
lean in.
Younger than I am. I appreciate it.
All my life, I have been an old soul, so it's common for people to be like, wait a minute, wait, no, mate, maybe. But no,
and I am so thankful that you will attract so many millennials to listen to our podcast.
and a few Z generation folks, the Gen Zers, because we've got the cult following with Star. You know, I was Queen Latifah's son in the TV show Star. I was Rashad, and those Gen Zers, if they don't know me from singing, they know me from Star.
I love it, and I love everything that you're doing, your whole vibe and your energy and what you're about. Everyone who comes on the podcast, we always ask them to share a message, share what they would say is the good word. So if you can share something for folks who are listening.
In this time, beautiful people, my name is Major. That's the name my mama gave me. Unapologetically embracing that reality, I need you to understand. Hope is a powerful anchor. Hope is not the denial of reality. Hope is the commitment to believe greater is on the other side of it. Hold fast to your hope, storm or sunshine. You will see the light at the end of the tunnel in due time. My name is Major, and I approve that message. Now that's the good word.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh my goodness. Y'all know when I get excited, I say yes and I clap. Oh.
You're from the church.
Major, thank you so, so much. We appreciate you. Please, please become a friend of the show and please keep
us updated on
the latest and greatest. And we hope we can have you back on the podcast, in next season or even sooner. But thank you so much. And we are rooting for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. And I'm rooting for you as well, Tisha. Keep rising, lock in, make no apology for being you. The true you is the greatest you. Thank you for your time. Peace.